The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's Gil Alexander. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Matt Santos, producer number 6.5, we've dubbed him, kind enough to join us in Kelly Bidlin's absence today, tomorrow, and Friday. Matt, everything okay back there? Everything's all right?
Everything's so perfect back
so
here.
So far, so good. Okay. Just making sure. We got Jason Weingarten coming up this hour. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. He's got thoughts about what to do. He's got a lot of thoughts, but what to do specifically with his Michael Harris Rookie of the Year ticket, where it looks like, and Michael Harris is a prohibitive favorite now, and Jason's looking and staring down the barrel of a lot of money. And because it's a lot of money, does he hedge just in case? So in other words, think about that. It looks like, for all intents and purposes, Michael Harris, who's just been raking, Spencer Strider now on the IL. So it looks like it's a done deal that it's going to be Michael Harris. But because we're talking about a large amount of money, does it psychologically shift for you and you say to yourself, well, here's the thing. It's a vote and it's an award. So just in case, do I want to secure some money? We'll talk to him about that. Will Hill will join us. Will's got a bunch of baseball and football picks for us as well. And then hockey, Pacific Division with Andy McNeil. But ladies and gentlemen, the hour begins with our very own Mike Pritchard, former NFL player and, of course, national champion at the University of Colorado. Pritch can be found on Twitter at MIPritchard. Is it MI Pritchard 2? What's wrong with me in the tweet and the handles? Let's ask him himself. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mike Pritchard. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, Gil. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. It's MI Pritchard.
It's MI Pritchard.
MI Pritchard, everybody. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the real Mike Pritchard and then, you know, Mike Pritchard, a number, or Mike Pritchard NFL. I mean, surprisingly, a lot of those handles were gone, man.
Hmm.
And yeah, I didn't realize there were that many Mike Pritchards out there.
Well, you're the only one that matters to us, Mike. Let's put it that
right
way.
On.
Co-host of VSiN's Pro Football Blitz. That's something you ought to know as well. Now, Mike, let me just ask you, because the brilliance of having you on, or the beauty of having you on, is that you actually played the game. And so I'm curious from your perspective on certain things. One, let's talk about the Raiders. The Raiders, the only 0-3 team in the National Football League. And this is Josh McDaniel, you know, his you know, stint here as a coach. And I think he gets this sort of drift from his years with Bill Belichick where, oh, well, he must be great. Okay, they've lost all three games now by a grand total of 13 points. So, you know, give him a nod in that direction. It hasn't been horrific. But on the other hand, from your perspective as a former player, is there something even more horrific about that? In other words, when does this go really bad? Is it this week if they lose?
Yes, I believe so, Gil. I mean, I think right now there's still a belief that they can get back in it. You know, you're 0-3, you're not out of anything. But if you get to 0-4, it's really impossible to get back in it in terms of a playoff race, in terms of trying to win a division. Hell, trying to get a wild card at that point. I mean, you got to get really, really hot. But if you're 0-4, obviously everything is going wrong. And so, you know, what's funny about this situation, it's not really funny, maybe comical, is that the Raiders, they went to the playoffs last year, right? With an interim head coach, with a group of players that banded together in that locker room and decided, hey, we know what it takes to get to the playoffs. And they got hot. They got on the streak, won a lot of games, got to the playoffs. But for whatever reason, that wasn't good enough for the owner. Yeah. And he wanted to, I guess, perhaps upgrade. But in the chance of upgrading the situation with the quarterback and or not quarterback, the head coach and certainly the GM, you're changing everything. And so now you got all your players needing to adapt to Josh McDaniels and his ways. Josh McDaniels is an incredible offensive coordinator. He's proven that for decades, but he hasn't proven to be a capable head coach yet, right? And so now you have that kind of mix and that kind of those forces meshing together here. And so you have a lack of confidence at times too. I think from a work ethic standpoint, the players did not address that in training camp, did not commit themselves that way. A lot of people wanted money. A lot of guys got contracts. A lot of guys got big money now, but yet they're not making big money plays. And so there's a mix of everything going on with the Raiders right now. And I don't know if Josh McDaniels is capable of fixing all of that right now.
And as we very well know, you especially having played, but we all know, having observed the NFL for years, the NFL history is riddled with great coordinators, right, who just didn't have good stints as head coaches. Like, it wouldn't be a new thing if this was the case with McDaniels. By the way, if they lose the Broncos, they've got the Chiefs on the road before a bye. They could be staring down the barrel of 0-5. That said,
I was just going to add this, Gil. And so when a coach takes over a team, it's because that team is bad, right? And so pulling back the curtain, when Mike Holmgren took over us in Seattle as a Super Bowl winning head coach, he had that credibility instantly. He won a Super Bowl. He's a head coach. He knows what it takes to get there. But he was taking over a team that was average. And so he asserted himself right away. But there you go. Josh McDaniels taking over a playoff team. And now there's a lot of scratching the head and questions. And I think as people, as humans, that's what we're prone to do, right? And so he's got to rally the troops more so than any X's and O's game planning that certainly coaches could capable of doing. No, he's got to get their mindset in the correct direction here.
That's such a great point. This is not your typical coaching takeover of a bad football team. That said, do you think the Raiders show up this week and get it done? Would you bet on the Raiders this week?
I would not bet on the Raiders this week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because of what I'm seeing on tape, if they're just not making the plays when they present themselves, you know. I mean, the Broncos are bad. I give you that. The Broncos are not a complete team, not a great team. But I think the Broncos are going to bring a lot of fans. As we know right now, a lot of people are selling their tickets in Allegiant Stadium because they're making a lot of money with their season tickets. And so I don't know if the Raiders are going to have a home field advantage in this game. You know, Russell Wilson with a new team on the road, that doesn't bode well at all. I think if the Raiders can make the plays and prove to me that they're making plays, maybe in game, I can get involved. But right now, I don't want to lay any points with this football team.
What's your favorite play of the week as you look at these lines?
Oh, you know what? I don't have a favorite play yet. I don't. But I am looking at the Thursday night game. I'm looking at if Tua is playing or not and what Tua has been able to do. And his anticipation of throws are off the charts. Gil, and that's really what's made him so successful. They put him in gun because he's so vulnerable under the center, turning his back to the defense and trying to find receivers. He's not there yet, but out of the shotgun, you know, as a drop back passer, his anticipation is crazy. So I expect Cincinnati to try to press these receivers and disrupt that a little bit, throw him off of his timing if he does play. I think he was concussed just watching him shake his head and you know, try to get focused as he was sitting on the ground. I mean, those are signs to me that, okay, you hit your head or you got whiplash or something. So I know the Miami Dolphins are not suggesting or saying that he was concussed, but he was, I believe so.
Sure.
So we'll see if he plays. But, I've just been zeroing in on that matchup coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, and I didn't even say that during the pro tip, but it's just the perfect spot for the Bengals for, like, multiple reasons. And Mike McDaniel's saying right now, Tua's going to do everything he can to play. If he can, he will. Otherwise, of course, it'll be Teddy Bridgewater tomorrow night at Cincinnati. Okay, so let me just ask you this. This is broad. I almost, you know, forgive me for not even sort of letting you know that I was going to ask this. But you are here at a sports betting network, and we all bet. And, you know, bettors have theories. They say things. Or maybe it's not even bettors. Maybe it's mainstream media about football that, you know, it's stated so often that it becomes sort of, you know, just a accepted thing. But as a former player, what's the thing that drives you the most crazy that you hear? Maybe it's a general betting outlook. Maybe it's a general thought about you know, certain situations in the NFL. Maybe it's about a certain team or a certain player. What drives you crazy?
You know what drives me crazy? I'm glad you asked this question because it's been driving me crazy since I've been with VSiN, and it's the notion that as bettors, we can make a decision when we see something idiotic on the field. In other words, you know what I'm saying? In other words, with Chubb, you know, he should have not scored. I would have made that decision. I would have told the coach, you know, not to do that or not to do this, you know. And I'm like, really, you know, it's fascinating in a rational state how we can come to that conclusion. I like, we're all watching the games. We're all, you know, maybe we're emotional a little bit, but not to the level that these coaches are during the course of a game, during the intensity of the game, during all this communication in the headset. that a lot of people aren't privy to. I mean, you got yelling and screaming going on a lot of times, and you got different opinions all the time, right? We just saw Ken Dorsey melt down in a press box.
Yes, we did.
Imagine that during the course of a 60-minute game, and yet, you know, as bettors, we think that we can make a rational decision all the time. And so I'm just here to say that we would like to think we would be rational and we could make a sound analytical decision, right? But we've all been in traffic. We've all been in an emotional state at times, and we always haven't made the right decision, have we? Right?
Hey, do you have a camera in my car, Mike? What is that? What are you talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see people running with lights. I see people, you know, blowing through stop signs. I see people, you know, doing irrational things. I'm like, wait a minute. In a rational state, we're supposed to make the right decisions. So that's what drives me up the wall, because people just don't understand the level of emotion that goes on during a 60-minute football game.
Yeah, I'm glad I asked. So we only have 30 seconds, but do you like then, let's take the Broncos, the Nathaniel Hackett and the Broncos said, you know what, we admit basically that we've had trouble with this. Let's hire someone to help. Do you like that move?
I do, because he needs help. You know, I mean, look, give him all the tools possible to give him an advantage or a chance to be successful as a coach. I mean, because Broncos, they've had head coaches failing left and right.
Yeah.
But if he needs help, go ahead and give him the resources. I agree with that.
Mike, always a pleasure, man. Always great to talk to you.
You too, Gil. Have a great day, man.
You too. Mike Pritchard, everybody. Co-host of VSiN's Pro Football Blitz at MI Pritchard on the Twitter machine. Coming back, Will Hill, baseball plays of the day. Football plays. It's on the other side. A numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your football season on the good foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance, recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, 24/7 video. 24/7, 365. Season prep, that includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long. Pro tools like our exclusive betting splits and pro tips updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. And ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of the New York City Cast, the podcast that hopes to be resurrected here momentarily. Ladies and gentlemen, he's our friend at Not The Will Hill. That's with two E's on the V. It's William Hilliam, everybody. How you doing, Will?
Gil, what's going on, man? It's quiet today without Kelly, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I miss Kelly. But Matt is in. Matt Santos, everybody. He's in, and he's a fine young man, and, you know, we should give him his propers as well.
No, for sure. He's not throwing 99. Like, Kelly comes, he wakes up, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, he's throwing 99. Matt's more change-up, slider, you know, gets ground balls. It's a different style.
Four-pitch guy. Yeah, for sure. Yes. Hey, so speaking of
little
that.
Brad Radke.
Little Brad Radke reference on the show today. I think of the Minnesota Twins when I think of Brad Radke. Is that who you associate him with as well?
Of course.
No. Yeah. Of course. Okay. So, here we are. The Mets and the Braves tied. Mets have the tiebreaker. 7 games left. 3, we think, weather permitting, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Friday is Bassett against Freed. That's what it's listed as right now. The Braves ought to be a favorite. Saturday and Sunday, the Mets are going to be favorites. DeGrom against Kyle Wright on Saturday. Scherzer against Charlie Morton on Sunday. Now, obviously, they got to win the other games, too. Tonight, of course, it's Luzardo going for the Marlins against Taijuan Walker for the Mets. Mets are about a -185 favorite. The Braves -225 on the road. No joy to have Jake Odorizzi on the hill, but he is going up against Josiah Gray. But let's say they both win tonight. How do you see this playing out, sir?
Going to be a lot of fun, man. There's nothing like it. An old-fashioned pennant race, and there's really not else a lot going on in baseball. I mean, the Judge home run things is one thing, but in terms of the pennant races, this is it. And not only this is fun, it's so impactful for all the reasons we've talked about in past weeks.
Yes.
Avoid the Dodgers as long as possible. Keep your pitching in order. I really don't think the Mets can get to a World Series if they don't win the division, so this is everything to them. And to think Saturday, you wake up, you're up 2.5 games. Atlanta's struggling. They have 2 more against Philly, at Philly. The Mets have DeGrom and Scherzer pitching against Oakland. They have a 3-0 lead Saturday with DeGrom on the mound. and you go to bed Tuesday night tied. You do have the tiebreaker, but you go to bed Tuesday night with the same record.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Things change quickly. Yeah, life comes at you fast, as they say. So
yeah,
who wins this weekend? I have no idea. The Mets have answered every challenge. Every time the Braves have gotten close this year, and they cut it to a game or half a game, the Mets just sort of take off. So I trust the Mets. But boy, it's been ugly. I mean, think of it this way. The Mets have played seven home games in September against the Cubs, the Nationals, and the Marlins. They are 1-6.
I do want to just say this, and again, this is a corny moment on the show, but betting aside, you and I love baseball. This is what makes it so great, right? Like, it's the football on the weekend, spectacular. We're all going crazy. And then you get to a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? And it's just focusing on this pennant race is amazing. Now, you do have a play in this Marlins-Mets game today. What is it?
Yeah, I took the Marlins +1.5. I just don't trust the back of this Mets rotation. Carrasco and Walker have not been good in the second half. The Mets are just not one of these big-time offenses where they get behind. Like last night, once they're down 2-0, you knew right away they're in trouble because they can't, you know, score runs in bunches here. It's just not a great offense. They really miss Marte. There's some dead spots in the offense. Just pound for pound, the Braves, to me, are a much better team. Now, DeGrom and Scherzer equalize that. It's the old Curt Schilling, Randy Johnson thing where it's, look, those two guys in a short series makes up for a lot of flaws, but I don't trust the Mets here to win by 2 runs. I'm going to take the Marlins +1.5. Lazardo's thrown the ball really well lately for the Marlins. He sort of found something after he struggled last year, got traded from the A's. He's got a lot of talent. The Marlins are just dripping with pitching. They have so many arms. I will take the Marlins here +1.5.
All right, you're also making a play on a game that has no real consequence here because the Astros on their way to being the number one seed in the American League. D-backs, Astros, you're playing a total here.
Fun pitching matchup. Verlander against Zach Gallen. You can make the case both these guys are the best pitcher in their respective leagues. Gallen's been incredible, and Verlander now back for the Astros. So I did play the under 6.5, which should be a hell of a pitching matchup.
All right, and there is one other thing of consequence, by the way, with apologies to the Orioles that don't look like they're going to get there, even though the Mariners are given all kinds of opportunity in the American League. But we do have a bit of a race. We do have a solid race for the number 3 wildcard position in the National League, where the Phillies, who do own the tiebreaker, right? The Phillies have a 1.5 game lead over the Brewers. And it's one of these things where the Brewers are having trouble walking through that door. They're taking on the Cardinals today. You have a play on the total.
Yeah, again, I played the under. I think it's a pretty good pitching matchup with Quintana going against Woodruff. So just a number grab here, playing the under 7. And yeah, you mentioned the Brewers. They just can't seem to capitalize. The Orioles can't seem to capitalize. That was a crazy game yesterday against the Red Sox.
Yeah,
where it was they had an early lead because I was on Baltimore at +money and they went down 8-3. I sort of turned it off. My buddy texted me. He's like, look what happened. It was 8-8 before you could blink, and then Boston pulled ahead. So some of these teams missing opportunities, which sort of kills the drama of this last week of the season. I think this time next week we're going to be day 162, game 162. The long season will be on our last day. So a week from today it ends. It's just it's crazy to think about.
Have you seen that? I was talking about the schedule yesterday. So it's one thing to have the wild card where it's best of three, right? And so the third division winner and the number one wild card team will host those best of threes all at their own stadium. But then after that, it's like the championship, because there's an extra series, everything is like super crunched up. So you have in like the division series, pardon me, let's start there with the best of fives. Games 3, 4, 5 are like consecutive days. And then you get to the championship series and it's like the same thing on the back end. Baseball playoffs this year is going to be madness. I cannot wait for that.
In the division round, they always play some of the games during the day just for TV purposes. So you're going to have some scenarios where a team plays 8 o'clock at night and then plays, you know, 4 o'clock or 1 o'clock the next afternoon. You could win or lose 2 games within a 24-hour span. It's just going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Love it. Let's go, Braves. Let's get there for me.
What's funny? Don't you think it's the first time since 2019 these winter sports started at normal time because of all the pandemic and everything?
Right.
It feels like they're starting so early. It's so weird to see the NBA back, the NHL back. It's too early. We're not ready for it yet. We got enough sports. Just take another month or two. We're good for now.
And it feels like baseball's a little later a little bit, so it's like it's all particularly crunched up. Yeah, I was talking college basketball a little, not specific games, but we just brought up college basketball with Michael Craig earlier. In my head, I was like, I am not ready. I am so not ready for that. All right, football. Let's go to the National Football League. This is going to be interesting because you have a couple plays here that sort of dovetail with some stuff we were talking about earlier. Let's go to the Jags and the Eagles. You, too, like the Jacksonville Jaguars here.
I am all in on the Jags. I was in on them before the season to win the division. I doubled down last week, threw a little more this week at, I think, 2-1, +180, something like that. Jags are good. The Jags, it looks like they have a quarterback. They have a pass rush. They have a pretty good coach. Look, they got a coach who won a Super Bowl and made the playoffs the next 2 years. I mean, think about it. He probably got a raw deal in Philly because he wins the Super Bowl 2017. 2018, he makes the playoffs and wins a game. And then 2019, he wins the division. 2020 is a bad year, and he's out. So that was strange how Peterson got run out of Philly. You're getting a lot of points here. Peterson is familiar with that personnel, having coached in Philly. And again, a quarterback, a pass rush. They killed the Chargers. I know the Chargers were all beat up. Herbert was banged up. They absolutely killed the Chargers last week. They dominated the Colts. They should have beaten Washington. This is really close to being a 3-0 team. I really like this Jags team.
Yeah, this is also with Peterson. Like, people were quick to give Frank Reich all the credit for the good, right? And so there was also that, which was, you know, not a normal thing when it comes to someone winning a right. Super Bowl. All right, and then there's the Thursday night game tomorrow night. We talked about this earlier. Tua, questionable. We don't know if it's going to be Tua. We don't know if it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. Quick turnaround on the road here. Dolphins obviously have weather concerns they have to deal with practice in preparation for this football game. Mike McDaniel, first primetime game as a head coach. Bengals favored by 4. Which way are you going?
Yeah, this is the perfect storm, no pun intended, for Cincy here. I mean, this is just such a good situation. Miami was on the play on the field for 90 plays, and not just 90 plays, but you're talking in Miami, in Florida, in the heat there. 90 plays is a lot. Then you have to turn around, go on the road, and play 3 or 4 days later against the Cincy team that's 1-2 and needs the game more than you do. Two is banged up. To me, this is just a great home run situation here for the Bengals. I like Cincinnati.
Let me just ask you this, though. If the Dolphins somehow, whether it's Tua, whether it's Teddy Bear, whichever way they go, and if they figure out a way to win this football game against the defending AFC champion Bengals, do you then immediately shift to, okay, this team is for real, for sure now?
Yeah, because it's so much, you know, it's the receivers in football, it's almost like three-point shooters in basketball. They're so impactful. When you have two of them, I mean, Hill and Waddle, you can't guard those two guys. They're so fast. They're so creative on offense. I've never been a huge Tua fan, but he's played better this year. I think if they win this game, obviously at 4-0, you start to have to take him seriously.
For sure. I would absolutely believe that because, again, all those circumstances going against them, if they were able to overcome this, then it's like extra week heading in, you know, extra rest going into game 5. You're 4-0. My goodness, you could not have. And again, box score considerations aside, how they figured out, quote unquote, a way to win that game this past weekend. So all will have gone the Dolphins' way, but we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Will, enjoy the baseball tonight, and I'm sure we'll be in touch Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Weather willing.
Go Nationals tonight.
I hate you. No, not that. Will Hill, everybody, at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. Coming back, Andy McNeil on the Pacific Division in hockey. You ready for some hockey? It's next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. The VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide. It'll be available soon with strategies and best bets for the season ahead. Get in-depth analysis from our hockey experts, including, hey, how about this, Andy McNeil, with predictions for teams and players, win totals, daily betting tips, season-long trends to watch, plus three things every new NHL bettor should know. The guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Speak of the devil, ladies and gentlemen, our favorite Canadian, Andy McNeil, to talk some hockey with us from Edmonton, Alberta. And it goes, there's the Canadian flag. There he is. Look at you, man. You're looking good. How are you?
Good to be back, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So, first of all, let me just say this. Hockey season begins when? For those who are just landing on this, when does it start? I think there's a game before it really starts in earnest.
Yeah, so the NHL is kicking off over at O2 Arena in Prague, Czech Republic, on October 7th and 8th with a back-to-back set between the Nashville Predators and the San Jose Sharks. I believe that is still slated to go on. I had heard a little bit of talk about some, you know, issues with maybe some of the Russian players not being allowed to enter Chechnya or Czech Republic, sorry, and that could, you know, maybe cause some holdups and maybe cause some problems. But the rest of the season gets going on October 11th. Everything kicks off, and then we're into the full swing of things.
Remember, Andy, it's not kicking off; it's facing off. Let's be clear about that.
Thanks,
all right.
Thanks.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with Andy McNeil. All right, so let's start with the Pacific Division. We'll have you back a few more times here and on the run-up to not only the VSiN Prep Guide, but the season itself, of course. Out of the Pacific Division last year, obviously it was Calgary, Edmonton, and the Kings got to the postseason. Edmonton got the furthest. They got to the Western Conference Finals. They were beaten by the eventual champion, Avalanche, in the Western Conference Finals. Let's start with Calgary, though. You've been giving in the prep guide, one of the biggest things, one of the topic sentences with this, it's almost unheard of for a team to lose one 40-goal, 100-point player. They lost two.
Yeah, Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau both found new homes in the offseason. Johnny Gaudreau's contract was up. He decided to take his talents to Columbus, of all places, and sign with the Blue Jackets, a big deal. And Matthew Tkachuk, I mean, did I guess, somewhat of an admirable thing and let the Flames know a year out from the end of his contract that he wasn't going to be coming back at the end of next season. So they worked out a deal with the Florida Panthers and were able to acquire Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar. And then later in the summer, they added Nazem Kadri, big free agent, obviously, from the Colorado Avalanche. So the Flames could have been set back a decade. I mean, they went from being virtually a non-playoff team to back to the being the best team in the division, in my opinion. I think a lot of people would agree that one of the Alberta teams should be at the top of the projected Pacific Division standings this season, but I think the debate pretty much comes down to who. A lot of people are going to side with the Oilers, given that they were victorious in the second round series, the Battle of Alberta. But I think this Flames team is stronger than they were last year. Jonathan Huberdeau is capable of driving his own line. The Flames were a very top-heavy team last year. They had Elias Lindholm, Matthew Tkachuk, and Johnny Gaudreau all on the top line. Each of those players put up big numbers, but they didn't really have a balanced attack. And I think with Huberdeau and Kadri on the second line, the Flames are looking like a more balanced team and a stronger team as a result. So I have them projected to finish with around 109 points.
Oh, wow.
Tops in the Pacific Division. And probably shocking to some people, but, you know, that's roughly the top team in the NHL as far as standings projections.
So that's an over bet, right? Because both the Flames and Oilers at 102.5. If you're projecting the Flames at 109, that's an over on points?
Yeah, that's a bigger over bet for sure. Roughly a 7-point difference. Obviously, I'm probably going to be the most optimistic of all the hockey forecasters out there when it comes to the Calgary Flames.
All right, and you like the Oilers, Jack Campbell in goal now, but you do have them a notch below the Flames in the Pacific.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Flames are a more well-structured team. Not much is going to change there in terms of their defensive structure under head coach Daryl Sutter. They have a more reliable goaltender in Jacob Markstrom. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people knock the signing of Jack Campbell, calling him a younger version of Mike Smith, who we know played well into his 40s there with the Oilers, or his late 30s, sorry. But Jack Campbell, I mean, if he can be a young Mike Smith, that is great, because Mike Smith was a pretty good goaltender in his prime. When he was 30 years old, he posted a .930 save percentage and led the Arizona Coyotes to the Stanley Cup final that season. So, there's nothing wrong with being a young Mike Smith. So if Jack Campbell can live up to that, the Oilers are in a good spot. There's still a lot of concern here about, their defensive deficiencies, but they were really good under head coach Jay Woodcroft. I believe they went, 26-9-3 to finish the regular season under Woodcroft. So obviously the honeymoon phase is over, but the Oilers should be one of the top teams in the NHL, one of the top offensive teams, obviously with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, Evander Kane. And I think they'll finish with around 105 points.
An over bet on points or not? I mean, not as high as you are on the Flames.
That's kind of borderline. Yeah. Looking for, kind of 4 points. Three and a half, 4 points, yeah. To make a bet.
Okay. Vegas Golden Knights, which will be, people are interested to hear what you have to say here locally about the Knights. Knights, who, of course, got all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals before the Caps beat them in their inaugural season. All the way, sort of, the arc has not gone well. They missed the playoffs last year, and that was supposed to be a very bullish year for them, but a lot of injuries. They have another change in goal. You like the Knights here, or just are kind of lukewarm?
Lukewarm. I mean, I think this is their worst projection since they entered the league in their inaugural season when nobody knew anything about them. They've been a contender pretty much ever since then, and they're not the contender that they once were, or at least they don't look to be. I mean, you can't trade your best goal scorer, Max Pacioretty, and make out very well. Adding Phil Kessel should help. He's a reliable forward, kind of consistently puts up 20 goals wherever he goes. And, you know, could fit really well in the top six there with the likes of Jack Eichel and Riley Smith and whoever else. But, you know, obviously the injury to Robin Leonard totally changed everything. That puts the Vegas Golden Knights in a very tough situation with Logan Thompson, Aiden Hill, you know, possibly Laurent Brossoit or Michael Hutchinson playing a lot of games this season. So I've got them finishing, I believe, around 96 points. Sorry, I kind of lost track of things here. But, yeah, not a definitely lukewarm on the Knights. They're good enough to make the playoffs, but not a lock like they were in years past.
All right, we have about 3 minutes. So Kings, Canucks, Kraken, Ducks, and Sharks, the other remaining teams of the Pacific Division. What are your favorite angles, your favorite bets with any of those five teams involved?
Well, we can skip the Sharks. That's a mess right there. The team should be in a rebuild, but it seems like they're kind of reluctant to get there. Anaheim Ducks, they overachieved last year. I don't really see big things for them this season. Seattle Kraken, obviously a team that you and Matt love to bet on primetime action last season. But I think they're going to turn it around this year. I don't necessarily think they're a playoff team, but you know, a week ago their point total, their regular season point total was 81.5. I think it's up to 82.5 at some shops. I think they're going to finish with closer to 87 points. They added two-time Stanley Cup winner Andrei Burakovsky, who you know very well from his days with the Capitals. Oliver Bjorkstrand, probably Columbus' second best player. They acquired him in the offseason. And, of course, they had Shane Wright, who was the player that was projected to go first overall, fall to them at fourth overall in the draft. So him and Matty Beniers, another top prospect, arguably their top prospect, could play a big role this season. And, you know, the goaltending, I mean, it was terrible last season, and it's going to be really hard for them to kind of come close to that this season. They were a pretty good defensive team.
Yeah, I believe the Kraken thing on primetime action was Matt bet them the first game of the year, and they got beat, and then he wished them ill will and harm the rest of the season. It really got him upset.
And he's fickle.
Yeah. Okay, so by the way, you mentioned the Caps. I can't wait till we get to the Caps in a future preview because Andy has some definite thoughts on that team. We'll save that for then. Any futures play on any of these teams here in the Pacific Division?
I think, you know, it's not a super attractive price. Calgary around plus 230 to win the division, but I do think there's some value there. I think they'll win it more often than not. I think you can, you know, place a bet on them to win the Stanley Cup at 17 or 18 to 1. Shop around, find the best price. I think the Flames are, you know, a stronger team and more well-suited to make a playoff run this time around than they were last year.
All right. Love it. And the guide that we have, the VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide, I know I talked about it a little before the segment started. What did you enjoy most about putting that together?
I really just love figuring things out and kind of, you know, kind of just doing it. It's just all part of my process now. This is the fourth season that I've done this for VSiN, and it's really, really become an enjoyable process. I spent about 6 weeks in total putting it together and just had a lot of fun learning about the teams and, you know, kind of going through it in such detail, maybe even more detail than I would otherwise, you know, helps me pick up a few things along the way.
All right. Andy will be back with us here in the next couple of weeks, do the other three divisions, talk about player awards. We got a story in there. We got an Abote in there. So that's an official segment, Andy. We appreciate it, man.
Hurricane.
We
talked about the hurricane that hit Nova Scotia.
We didn't get a hurricane or Nova Scotia. Oh, man. I was in Toronto a couple weeks ago, man. Tim Hortons. Whew, phenomenal. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
We disagree.
Oh, man. Thank you, Andy. We'll talk to you next week. Andy McDeal, everybody. Right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier player loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Santos, in for Kelly Bidlin today. So in case you missed it again at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the impact on sports of Hurricane Ian, which, again, we send our best to everybody on the Gulf Coast of Florida, where that is really ashore right now, or just off the coast of Fort Myers and Naples, and is affecting the Tampa area. The state of Georgia is also taking precautions. So, again, we said earlier, you know, there's already been some movement in college football. East Carolina, South Florida has moved from Tampa to Boca. Eastern Washington and Florida moved from Saturday to Sunday, hoping that that will be enough time-wise to sort of get out of range here. SMU, UCF moved from Saturday to Sunday. And then South Carolina State, South Carolina, by the way, also moved from Saturday to Thursday. If it does impact Tampa, if the storm lingers, Tampa, the football game between the Bucks and the Chiefs could move to somewhere in the Midwest. Could maybe Minnesota would be the location. Again, we're just sort of getting ahead of things. Minnesota playing in London this weekend. And now, and I mentioned this earlier about the Braves and the Mets. The Braves and the Mets, the biggest series of the baseball regular season looms Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Atlanta. And so now Major League Baseball considering contingency plans for that series as Hurricane Ian bears down on Florida's Gulf Coast. And some of the considerations here, so it's pretty interesting what they're going through because they have both teams have a mutual day off Thursday. Major League Baseball is not considering starting the series a day early, relocating the games to a neutral site, also not a serious consideration as of this morning, according to MLB.com. But what they are, you know, just getting into is they're going to have a decision at some point here as early as tonight, as late as Friday morning. One of the possibilities is a split doubleheader. They're considering a split doubleheader on Sunday, if it's okay on Sunday, if they can push back a game to Sunday, a split doubleheader. What a way to end that series and all the implications of that series to do a split doubleheader on Sunday. And another option that they're considering is, remember, the regular season ends on October 5th. The wild card round, which the loser of the NL East, the loser, in other words, the team that finishes second in the NL East, will have to participate in, that is scheduled to begin October 7th. So there is an off day on October 6th. That is also a possibility in case weather impacts this weekend's series. So split doubleheader, making up a game October 6th. I mean, this is just amazing. All this stuff happening at one time. So keep all of that in mind. By the way, the pro tip of the hour, we'll go back to Drew Dinsick from the first hour. Why don't we do that? Because he was that good. He had another one. Beware of teams that many people have differing opinions on because the market was very reactionary and there's a potential that you'll buy in on a team with little to no value. We were talking about this around the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I mentioned the market has been strange on them for a couple of weeks, and Drew added it's been strange on them for a couple of years. So just keep that in mind when handicapping football. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. By the way, Zach Wilson expected, the language that Adam Schefter is using, expected to be the Jets starter this weekend for the New York Jets. Jason Weingarten comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. He's the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast at Spreadopedia on Twitter. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Good. That's a lot to pack into a few minutes right there with contingency plans based on weather. Let me just ask you this. Right now, I'm asking for the Jason Weingarten instinct. Who takes the NL East?
Braves.
Love it. May that instinct be manifested, sir. Love it. Let me ask you about a bet you have. Oh, no, go ahead. You had something to say?
I said for both of us,
yes. For both of us, yes. For both of us. All right. You have a bet on Michael Harris for National League Rookie of the Year. You stand to make a lot of money. What were the best odds you got on Michael Harris when you bet it?
75-1, I think.
75-1. He's now -450 here as Spencer Strider's on the IL. And so Jason is sitting on this number, and you stand to make a good amount of money. Now, this is sort of a great question because people love to talk about, hey, should I hedge, should I not? Where do you stand? Because we're talking about a great deal of money, your brain goes places and you're like, okay, these are still awards. There's still people voting on them. There's still a possibility he may not get this. Not likely, I don't think, but just in case. What's your mindset right now on this?
Well, I mean, there's the theoretical world where, you know, you say no hedging. I don't want to hedge. I'll never hedge. And then there's reality where, you know, if you have close to a six-figure win and your chances either win a lot of money or walk away with zero, there's a little voice in the back of your head that's telling you, you know, especially when Spencer Strider's plus 280 or whatever, little voice is telling you, you know, you don't want to bet $5,000 on this or $10,000 on this, at least guarantee you walk away with something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the goal of the gambling is to make money, you know, and I get it. You want to, you know, keep all the value you can keep, but do I really want to lose? And as much as I think Michael Harris is the rookie of the year, and I can give you 10 reasons why he is, Spencer Strider has 200 strikeouts. He's been great the entire season. So if anyone voted for him, I couldn't say, well, you're totally wrong. You know, I could tell you why I think you're wrong, but 200 strikeouts, 200 strikeouts. So I don't really want to walk away with anything here. I don't exactly know what I should do. I think I'm going to ask a couple people whose opinions I respect and see what they think. Get other opinions in this case.
Fair enough. I like what you said, though. There's the theoretical, and then there's reality. And we're all human, right? I talk about my survivor strategy all the time, for instance, the NFL. And then you have an NFL season where you have no confidence in any team whatsoever. And you're like, I think I have to play this differently than I did in theory, right? I mean, these things happen. So let's get back to the general awards markets in baseball, some of which are no longer even posted, some of which are sparsely posted. And if I come to you from the future and I say, Jason, based on the betting markets and what we've immersed ourselves in, based on that, that's how I qualify a surprise. A surprise happened. Which market did it happen in, and who won said award?
You know, obviously the answer would be Strider over Harris, but I do think Harris is going to lock this up regardless of whether I hedge or not. I mean, the one that was most up in the air for me was the NL MVP, with Goldschmidt taking the last, you know, 3-4 weeks off completely. You know, he's batting 200 the last 2 months, or the last month.
246.
Plus.
Yep. 246.
246. That's not MVP numbers. Obviously batting average, but you know, I think Machado should be the MVP based on, you know, if we're using the, well, he dragged his team to the playoff argument for Aaron Judge, why isn't it applicable to the National League as well? But I don't know. I think if you believe the MLB.com polling, the awards are essentially locked up. But, you know, I think the NL MVP could potentially flip the last couple weeks, or the last week now.
Yeah, should be interesting. By the way, baseball, in case you're wondering, like, hey, when did they announce the baseball awards? Right after the regular season? Oh, no. Oh, no. They wait till after the World Series. And then you're like, oh, then after the World Series. Do they give them all at once? Oh, no. They don't do that either. They sparse them out week by week so that, like, MVP is announced on Thanksgiving. Like, for real. This is how long they drag this out.
And then they leak it. Bob Nightingale leaks it all
right
a week before because he thinks he's special or something. And it just wastes all our time. It's the dumbest thing. Baseball is the worst when it comes to marketing and doing anything in a timely fashion. It's the worst run sport, if you think about it.
And then remember, there's also a tell on who announces the award. Remember NL MVP last year, Mike Schmidt announced it. We're like, oh, I see. Bryce Harper actually won this then. So it's like,
yeah,
it's,
and we'll know Ohtani. We'll know if Ohtani's even remotely live, because like if he's back in Japan that week, he's not showing up for an award show. Like we'll have some tells early.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, because we got to run. Any play today in baseball? Did you do anything?
Nothing. I'm just kind of bored of the baseball season at this point.
What's your favorite football play of the week?
Houston plus +6 against the Chargers. I am so down on the Chargers right now. I've had to watch them in LA a couple weeks on TV, and You know, I don't know what they were thinking leaving Justin Herbert in that game. That's some stupid coaching out of Staley again.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if we'll see him this week. We shall see. We'll monitor that. Jason, enjoy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me. Always fun to talk to you.
Always. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia on Twitter. We've done all we can do. Lombardi Line next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.